part of the seminar, the first part. And I like some of the statements he said, and I'll just probably grab a couple of those from him. And I like the phraseology of the kingdom of God is a sure thing. I know when I was growing up as a child, kingdom of God, what's that? You know, I thought, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. I didn't know what the kingdom of God is. But once I found out what that kingdom of God is, it does give us, like Mr. Ashley said, a purpose. Well, in today's first segment, we went over a particular verse, and it is so important. We talked about the developments that led to the introductory statement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he preached as recorded, and we saw this in Mark 1, 14 and verse 15, verses 14 to 15. And that statement, we'll etch that in again, that the time is fulfilled, and meaning the time has come. You know, people in the news are saying things cannot continue on as they are forever. And as a young child, I would say probably 12, 13 years old, I started to see that already in the world situation. How could things continue on forever? So we see the time has come. It is near. So Jesus Christ brought this gospel to us. And it's interesting that he was really the first to bring that to us. Let's look at Hebrews 2 and verse 3. And as we read this, it was good to review this and see the importance of the gospel message, what Jesus Christ brought. As we look here in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, we see that how shall we escape? And what is this that the world would escape from? Well, it's the penalty of all that's been going wrong. If we neglect so great a salvation, yes, there is greatness to the salvation that God is giving us and showing us about his kingdom, which at the first, Jesus Christ is the first to bring that important gospel message, began to be spoken by the Lord. Yes, Jesus Christ was the first to bring that kingdom of God message and was confirmed. In essence, Jesus Christ is guaranteeing that the kingdom of God is coming here to this earth, coming here to be here. And he confirmed that unto us and by them that heard it. The 12 apostles are saying, yes, we are confirming that this did happen. Let's look at one other verse here that really shows and etches in our mind that Jesus Christ brought this gospel message to this world, a very important message. It gives meaning to our life and purpose. Let's look here at Ephesians 3, and we'll start here in verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me, and that's Jesus Christ is giving this mystery, making it known, as I wrote afore in the few words, that he was talking about this gospel of the kingdom of God, whereby when you read, you may understand. Many people did not understand. So he's giving understanding and my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. To many, this didn't make sense. It was a mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, and then is given on down to other people. We saw in Isaiah 46 in verse 10, a very important scripture that gave a prophecy through Isaiah about this coming kingdom of God. And Mr. Ashley so adeptly told us about it, declaring the end from the beginning. God knows when things began on this earth. He knows when the ending will be, when his kingdom is going to start. From ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established. Here is that guarantee. The kingdom of God is going to come, and I will accomplish my good pleasure. So, what is in this verse? There are two very specific points. Number one, the kingdom of God is prophetic. It's prophetic. We are seeing this in this verse. He's guaranteeing it. He said it's going to come in the future. Number two, second point about this verse in Isaiah 46 and verse 10. His pleasure means he delights in offering his kingdom. He delights in this. We'll see this even more convincingly expressed in Luke 12 and verse 32. Let's look at that. Luke 12 and verse 32. God the Father and Jesus Christ enjoy giving his kingdom to his people. And in Luke 12 and verse 32, we see, "Do not fear, a little flock," as he's speaking to the church, "for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It is God's desire. It is God's plan. It is something that brings great happiness to God to bring the kingdom here to this earth. So in this presentation, we will explain how the kingdom of God is at hand. We'll go into a little more explanation than Mr. Ashley did. We'll just expand that a little bit further. And then we'll go on to discuss how to make this prophetic event a personal experience for you today. I know for myself, once I realized what the kingdom of God is and what it's going to be, that it gave me meaning in my life. More than any job, more than any amount of money, more than anything. We look forward to the kingdom of God. So from the time Jesus made this landmark statement that we just read back in Mark 1, the kingdom of God has been the focus of the message from God to mankind. It hasn't been told very much. The truth hasn't been really expressed. But God formally dealt primarily with the nation of Israel via human messengers. We saw this through the prophets. The kingdom of God was first preached by Jesus Christ and has become the focus of his message to mankind. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, Paul talks about the past remarks about this and how it refers to today. And we can see this in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Let's look at this here as Paul gives us a focus here in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. How is this related to the past, and how does it relate to us today? In Hebrews 1 and verse 1, we see God, who at various times, so he has intervened throughout the history of mankind, and in various ways spoke in time past, so prior to us, to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days. So he's bringing us up to speed to this time right now. In these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. A fantastic thing. Jesus Christ has earned the right. He is going to inherit all things. Let's continue on in emphasizing more about this in Luke 16 and verse 16. Luke 16 and verse 16. We see that there is a transition that has occurred from that time past till the time right now. In Luke 16 and verse 16, we see the law and the prophets were until John. There's a milestone right here, isn't there, with John the Baptist coming on the scene. A new era has begun with John the Baptist because he is going to show that Jesus Christ is coming to proclaim that gospel message. So we saw here in Luke 16 and verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. They want to go forward into it. Let's emphasize this even more in Matthew 3. Matthew 3, if you'll read along with me. In Matthew 3, we see here starting in verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's doing this preparatory work and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." In essence, it is near. the time has come, the time is fulfilled. We could add in some of those explanations that Mr. Ashley gave us of that fulfillment. It is ripe, it is prime time for it. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. And he's taking a reference here from Isaiah 40 in verse 3. So he goes on to say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know, the gospel of the kingdom of God is not spoken of much. You don't hear it on the news. You don't see it much on television. And that's why it is a voice of one crying in the wilderness. And John had to express it in the same way. He's telling us, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, we'll continue on with this topic and go now to Matthew 4 and verse 12. We'll expand a little bit more about the kingdom of God. Matthew 4 and verse 12 tells us, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, so time has proceeded a little bit, he departed to Galilee. And we'll skip down to verse 17 of Matthew 4. So from that time, Jesus began to preach and say. He's carrying on. He is beginning that gospel message now and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is ready for it. It's time to proceed with it. Talk about what it is. Also, we'll find this in Mark 1. Let's look here in Mark 1, and we'll start here in verse 14. Actually, we had read this before, but let's go over it again. There's no problem with reiterating this again. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as Mr. Ashley told us, that word time is that word kairos, meaning fulfilled. It's a specific time, something in the future. And it indicates something else here. It indicates an immediacy, a sense of urgency. We can't be lackadaisical about it. It is going to happen. So there's an immediacy, a sense of urgency in talking about that kingdom of God is coming. So there are some issues to consider as we talk about the kingdom of God. Number one is faith. But we'll talk about this in some future seminars. Let's go on to point number two. Faith is important, but let's go on to point number two. But in what way was the kingdom of God at hand when Jesus made this statement? We'll talk a little bit more about this. And point number three. That was nearly 2,000 years ago. If it was at hand, wouldn't you think it would have happened? Would have occurred by now? And Jesus Christ has not returned to establish the kingdom of God yet on this earth? So how do we apply this immediacy when this time frame has gone by and the sense of urgency is there? Let's look here at Colossians 1 and verse 13. For an answer, Colossians 1 and verse 13. He has rescued us from the power of darkness. This is what Jesus Christ has done. And transferred us into, I think this is a very key word, into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So if we've been transferred into it, it is fulfilled in totality right now. Let's go on to see if that's the case. The kingdom of God has started within his church. This is how God functions. This is how Jesus Christ works with his people. The kingdom of God has started within his church now. The New Testament church was starting then. It was starting, and the immediacy was for the church then. So let's look at two key points to consider at this time about the kingdom of God. Some more information here. Number one, the gospel of the kingdom of God is the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins to rescue us from the penalty of death and the power of darkness. We need that, don't we? We need to have our sins forgiven. All have sinned, so we need that, and that is good news. Point number two, let's look at this. The gospel of the kingdom of God also offers the opportunity, and I'll speak a little slower here on this, to be prepared for and enroll now in this life as key citizens of that coming kingdom of God. You know, in my life in the church, I have seen people called from the time they were teenagers. For myself, I understood a little bit about it when I was 12 years old. I have seen people called and understand the kingdom of God. I had a lady I bumped into about a year ago, 77 years of age. She said, "What have I done all my life to not understand my purpose and what the kingdom of God is?" And today she does, and she is so thankful about it. So it's for now in our life as key citizens of that coming kingdom of God. Now, how is that happening? How will that happen? Let's look here in Philippians 3. Philippians 3, we want to look here. Let's look at our part, the church's part, our understanding of the kingdom of God. If we look at Philippians 3 and starting in verse 20, we'll read verses 20 and 21. So we see that once God calls us, our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we're enrolled there, from which we also eagerly wait. So once we understand about the kingdom of God, do we just kind of sit back, do nothing? Is that what that means? Does that mean that we just do nothing waiting for the kingdom of God, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body? So we need to be about doing something so that this will occur according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Now, there are two points that we want to express in this. Number one, our citizenship is registered in heaven. Registered. Our name has been put there. Registered that we want to participate. We want to be a part of the kingdom of God, and there are steps in it in preparing for the future. So our citizenship is registered in heaven, where the coming King of Kings and Jesus Christ now resides at the right hand of God the Father. Let's look at a second point of this that is so very important and relates to us now. That citizenship means that we can experience some of the benefits of the coming kingdom of God by living according to the laws that will govern the kingdom of God when it is established on this earth. So it's twofold, isn't it? Something for the future, something that we can apply now that will help us in today's life. Let's also look here at a third point. Third point in relationship to this. We may receive the privilege to confidently look forward to His return to this earth. Yes, Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth, and when He returns, He is going to resurrect His saints. He is going to resurrect those that have responded to the calling. So we look confidently forward to His return to earth when our mortal bodies will be transformed so that we may, from that time forward, experience the fullness of the kingdom of God forever. The fullness of the kingdom of God is in the future. How do we know that? We can see here in 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll start in verse 50. Look at this, brethren. A lot of people in this world have the idea that when they die, they are going to heaven. But look here, when Jesus Christ returns, what is going to occur? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50 tells us, and this is a remarkable thing. When I saw this in the Bible, I thought, this goes against everything that I understood as a young man. But it says here, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Yeah, that makes sense. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." So there are people that are sleeping now. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that trump that's described in the Bible, for the trumpet will sound. Notice what happens. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Change from physical to spiritual. And the Bible tells us in these words, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God, brethren. Now, one may ask, well, how can this be? We've always thought that we would go to heaven when we died, but we can look at one verse, Acts 2 and verse 34. Acts 2, I'm just going to quote this. I don't think we have this in the agenda. But you can go and read this later. David, who was after God's own heart, is still in the ground, has not been resurrected. He is waiting for that. And this 1 Corinthians 15:50-53 will be fulfilled. Let's continue on. So the gospel is an invitation to the kingdom of God because the time has come. We're beginning those steps, aren't we? It's going to be in full in the future to become part of what will ultimately result in the establishment of a world-ruling kingdom of God. In its fullness, complete, not just partial, but in fullness on this earth at the return of Jesus Christ. You know, we talk about a world government in the news today, but this is the government that needs to come to this earth to bring happiness, prosperity, joy back to God's people. So the gospel offers that invitation now. The enrollment is now, if we're alive, as an opportunity of training and qualifying. Two important words, brethren. Training and qualifying to assist Jesus Christ as priest in that coming kingdom. So Revelation chapter 1 tells us. Let's look here. Let's look and see exactly what the Bible said. What God and Jesus Christ are offering to each and every one of us in that kingdom. Revelation 1, starting in verse 5. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Yes, he's the first that has achieved success to be a part of the kingdom of God. And the ruler over the kings of the earth who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So very important. And has made us, or we may say is making us, because we're in that process, making us today a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. He is offering that to each and every human being on this earth that responds. Let's go forward here in Revelation 5, seeing what this says in verse 9. They, and this is the 24 elders, are singing a new song. Why are they doing that? What is this verse about? You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered by your blood and your ransom for God's saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. Talking about Jesus Christ, you have made them, and I want to express this, you have made them, or you, brethren, you put your name in there to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they, or you, brethren, will reign on this earth. So we are preparing today in God's church to be a part of that government, to be a part of that position that the Bible tells us. So Jesus made some important distinctions regarding who may become a part of the kingdom of God. Is it just anybody? Is it everybody right now? Let's look at what the Bible says. We find that as we look in the scriptures that there are some important things. We must first be called and chosen by God. Two important things. God calls us, He sees how we respond, and then He chooses from there. Notice Paul's explanation of this wonderful calling and privilege that he gives us to be a part of the kingdom of God. We see this in 2 Timothy. We'll look here in chapter 1. What a fantastic thing it is. Look how Paul explains this. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 9. Look at what God is offering people today. God has saved us. We won't just live and die and be gone forever. He has saved us and called us. And it's something special, isn't it? Look how Paul describes this. With a holy calling. Special. No matter what your office has been in life, a CEO, a janitor, a farmer, whatever you have done in your life, this calling is a holy calling. It has a higher ranking than anything that we could achieve in this life. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, special favor that God gives us, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Mr. Ashley spoke about this, didn't he? He has been planning since before the earth was made. He knows what He's doing. He knows what can be successful. Now let's see some more of this in Acts 2. Acts 2 and verse 39. This is exciting. I'm thinking back about times when I first found out about this kingdom of God and the excitement that's in it. Something greater than I have ever been able to achieve in my life. No one has offered me anything that is greater than this. In Acts 2 and verse 39, we see, "For the promise is to you, to each and every one of us, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, even those that are in the future, and as many as the Lord our God will call." This is greater than I think we can ever imagine, and we'll see how much greater this is. Let's look here in John 6 and verse 65. John 6 and verse 65. We are told here by John, and he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." So it's not just something that we can respond to on our own. God has to call us to Him. We have to be chosen by Him. God handpicks, selects those who are to become Christ's disciples at this time. This isn't just a group calling that God calls us to. It is an individual selection, if you will. And God calls those that He chooses at this time, the elect. Wow. I've never been offered a position like that in this world, to be chosen for that. Let's also skip forward here to chapter 12 of John. Some more exciting news about this kingdom of God. John 12 and verse 32. "And I, when I am lifted up from this earth, will draw all people to myself." Now, I talked a little bit about it's just a few that have been called and chosen. And here we are seeing that He will draw all people to myself. We'll find out a little bit more about this here later. But let's look at two points. Points about who can be part of the kingdom of God now. A fantastic offering. Number one, God ultimately plans to extend the kingdom of God to all mankind. No one, brethren, is going to be left out of being a part of the kingdom of God. Everyone is going to have an opportunity. You may say, "Well, I've had someone that never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and you can think of others that have lived, never had the opportunity. they are going to have the chance and opportunity. We'll talk about this at a later time. Let's talk about right now for us. Point number two. But currently, the majority of mankind has not been given the privilege to understand. To them, God's salvation plan is a mystery that they do not and cannot understand because they were not called. Or maybe they were called and they didn't select to follow. But all is not lost, brethren. Let's look here in Matthew 13. Let's look at this. Now, some of this gospel message of the kingdom of God has been veiled. It's no wonder that not everybody understands this good news of the kingdom of God. Matthew 13 and starting in verse 10 tells us, his disciples and asked him. They were a little perplexed. They didn't understand why he was going around. Why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And Jesus replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. It says here in this verse, but it's the kingdom of God, same thing, but others are not. So there are some that are chosen, some that are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. This is very key if you understand, brethren. And they will have an abundance of knowledge, but for those who are not listening, and some choose to do that, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So it's important that we do something with it, isn't it? That is why I use these parables, for they look, but they don't really see, they hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy in Isaiah, and that's back in Isaiah 6 and verse 9, that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. So the gospel of the kingdom of God, it's no wonder it hasn't been understood. It's been veiled. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But look at what happens to those people that respond to the calling. But blessed are your eyes, because you see, and your ears because they hear what he is saying. I tell you the truth that many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. They didn't understand it, and they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. So Jesus also said that the Father must draw those who come to him. He's the initiator. He's the one who starts it. I can see in my life where God the Father initiated it. I didn't do it on my own. He initiated it. Let's continue on with this in John 6. We'll look at verse 44. In John 6 and verse 44, can we just determine to be a part of the kingdom of God on our own? Well, John 6 and verse 44 tells us differently. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Here another inference for resurrection, isn't it? Raise him up. Now that word draw, when we look in the Greek, it means to draw by inward power. This is what God has, that inward power. God is using that, brethren, to help you. Like a magnet draws and attracts and moves steel. You know how that is. You know, us as little boys, when we had that magnet, we wanted to see how far we could draw something to it, what we could pick up. Well, God is using his power to draw you to him. Let's look at a second point here. God draws those whom he chooses by motivating their hearts. An inspiration, something he puts in your mind to respond to his calling. And so if these two things are happening in our mind, and your mind is thinking a little differently than your perspective of how you've thought about the kingdom of God and what's in the future. If you're thinking how I'm explaining to you, is God drawing you like a magnet towards that? If so, Jesus Christ says, you are blessed. You are blessed. Very blessed. Because most have not been given the opportunity or the ability to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. In fact, if you would walk out this door and tell people what I have told you right now, most would laugh and scoff and say, you must be crazy. They don't understand it. Not yet. They will in the future. Let's look here a little bit further. Matthew 22, and we'll look at verse 14. Sometimes we think that we've got to hurry up and call everyone. Well, God is going to call everybody in their time. But for right now, God gives us this information in Matthew 22 and verse 14. For many are called. Yes, he does test the waters to see who responds. But those that do not respond, he says, but few are chosen. Why is this? Why is this? Wouldn't you think that people would respond to this? Well, we see here in 2 Corinthians 6, and Paul tells us here's the reason why. 2 Corinthians 6, and we'll start in verse 1, and we'll read this. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. We can't treat it lightly, can we? It's precious. It's special. It's information that will give us success for an eternity. For he says, in an acceptable time, God chooses it. I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, what will God do in his part? I have helped you. He will help you be successful. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So what have we seen in this verse and what we've talked about? Let's look at some more points here. Point number one, for those of you whom God has called and is drawing now, if your mind has understood this, now is the accepted time for you, and now, and I want to express that, now is your day of salvation. It's an exciting thing. So I encourage you to heed the admonition of the prophet Isaiah. He tells us here in Isaiah 55. Let's look here. Once God starts to work with our mind, we have to respond. We have to choose. And we see in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. What does he tell us once he's called us? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him. Respond. Call upon him while he is near. Here's that word again. Once he has called us, he sees that you are responding. Continue to seek God. Ask for help. Seek the Lord while he makes himself available. There's a window of opportunity here, isn't there? Call to him while he is nearby, the New English Translation tells us. So, brethren, you have received the most important invitation of all time. How will you respond to this invitation to the kingdom of God? What must you do to respond to God's calling right now? Let's look at a few verses here. Let's look here in Romans 10. Romans 10, and we're going to read verses 6 through 15. Let's take these first few verses here. I have this written down in the King James, but I want to, and you can follow along with what we have here, but I'm going to read from the Living Bible, and you'll be able to follow along, but I think this will make it just a little clearer. Look at what is being offered here. But the salvation that comes through faith says, you don't need to search the heavens. to find Christ. You don't have to go to the heavens to find Jesus Christ, to understand about the kingdom of God and bring him down to help you. And furthermore, you don't need to go among the dead to bring Christ back to life again. So he's saying, here's this great expansive area to seek about the kingdom of God. It's not necessary to do this. You don't need to go among the dead or go up to heaven for salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preach, is already within easy reach of each of us. In fact, it is near as our hearts and mouths. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart, we must personally, each individually, believe that God has raised him from the dead. We must understand that. That was one of our beginning points. You will be saved. So, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. What do we see in all of this? Let's go over some more points here. And I'd like to reiterate or go through these points. So we understand this. The point is that you don't need to go anywhere to find Christ in order to respond to God's calling. You don't need to go to die and go to heaven. You don't need to go to the grave. You can respond right now where you're at. Number two, access to him and what he offers is as near as your heart and mouth, your mind. He's watching to see you respond. Point number three, you can accept God's calling by committing yourself to live God's way and living by faith in every aspect of life, what God delineates throughout his scriptures. And point number four, this means to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. Yes, there are things that we must do. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. So 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12 tells us. He's willing to share this with us. So, how then shall they call on him? We're continuing on in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Let's read these verses. I'm going to kind of accentuate the word how. How is this going to happen? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They haven't believed in the past. How are they going to respond now? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They haven't heard. They haven't understood. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The glad tidings. The good news about the kingdom of God is so important. It will have a government. It will have citizens, you if you respond. It will have a territory here on this earth. So, these verses, as we see one point here, spell out exactly why we are holding the Kingdom of God seminars. We have been impressed by it. We're excited by it. So you can hear the message of the gospel of the Kingdom of God that will result in peace. Not much peace here today, is there? We would like to see peace on this earth when Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God. Peace will only come when Jesus Christ returns, brethren. Let's make one thing clear, though. As Paul tells us back in Romans 6 and verse 23, no one can earn salvation. The United Church of God does not preach a gospel of earning salvation. We understand exactly what the scriptures tell us. It's a gift, a special favor that God gives to us. However, we must follow the teachings. You can't read the Bible without understanding that there are expectations of us, aren't there? If you read through it, we must follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, or we will not be given that gift forever. It will stop. Let's look back here in Revelation 1. Revelation 1. And we see here in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and what's more important, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time, and here's that word again, kairos, is near. It's near. So, brethren, point number one, the events prophesied in the book of Revelation leading up to the end of this age and the return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of God on earth are much nearer. Much nearer now than when they were written in the book of prophecy and Revelation when John wrote those words down. Much nearer than when Jesus Christ was alive. And we see another point here, point number two. So as we emphasize throughout this seminar series, we all need God's kingdom now. Now to institute what is possible in our life. Point number three, the good news is that you, each and every one of you, you can become part of the kingdom of God now, so that when Christ returns, and we're looking for his return, you can share with him the opportunity to bring peace on earth to ultimately all of mankind. You know, Mr. Ashley mentioned this verse in 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. It's a holy calling for God's purpose. And his grace given to us, special favor, a fantastic offering. So, brethren, I hope that you can see that this is how the kingdom of God is at hand. I hope you can see that this is how this is personal for you. It's personal for me. I want to be a part of that. So, this is the end of the second part, and in conclusion, the next seminar, we will cover in more detail. There's a lot to the kingdom of God. It's exciting. It's not just simple that you just get on the bandwagon and ride on with it or wait for God's kingdom, but there are more things to do. There's more detail in how we can respond to God's calling and become enrolled in and participate in that fantastic kingdom of God. Thank you.